Paul George, watching Hoopcast.
You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Welcome to episode 13 of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle, joined by Kevin Schwartz and Marco Tomic. And it's come to this. Here we are. Five-game losing streak. Bottom of the Big East. Players getting suspended. Players transferring.
Left and right.
I just don't know what else to say. Is there anything else to say? Kevin, this week has been so bad. Maybe the worst week in Butler basketball history.
I think Brad Stevens leaving that week was kind of bad. I think this week tops it.
All right. Well, let's... Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Kevin, let's start with a game against Xavier.
Well, the Xavier game looked to us from a fan point of view that there was a lack of effort out there. I mean, who really played hard? And even if they were playing hard, they weren't playing smart. There was nothing done right. Great game plan. We were in it for the first 10 minutes. Xavier made some adjustments. Boom, we're out of it. It wasn't even close. It was good to see Elijah at least get playing time and play well. It's the one positive I kind of took out of it. But my big concern is you got beat by Xavier. You got beat bad at home. Why are Kellen and Kyle still in the game at the end? What's the point? If you're getting blown out, that's the time you can put players in to develop them. I don't know what Devontae did to be this far in the doghouse where he's now among the ranks of guys like Elliott and Volovic and things like that, but he's not getting any time at all.
Yeah, Renee didn't get any time either. Oh, wait. That's a different issue.
But no. You're looking back at this Xavier game, and you're looking at – then you go to the Creighton game and St. John's games. Our best assist performance was 11.
That's bad.
We're not passing the ball around to people that are open. Our offense isn't getting anybody open. That's embarrassing.
The Xavier game, going back to it, I mean, it was just honestly one of those nights. I mean, we saw Kellen miss wide open three after wide open three or jump shot, things we normally see him making, and he's not. We couldn't get on the board until like the second half. And then Schrabis is taking the ball strong the hole and just not finishing on his and one, something we're used to seeing is him using his big body, squeezing it in there and putting it in. And it was just honestly one of those nights where nothing was going our way, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you can say that about half the games this season.
The next game, Creighton, we actually played kind of decent. I got to give my props to Doug McDermott. Not only are you a heck of a ball player, you're a really nice guy, too. Like, stayed after and took pictures with all of us, was signing autographs. Like, he's a nice guy. I respect him.
We got beat by a great player. A great player made great plays at the end of the game. This isn't a loss that we could take as a program if we beat everybody that we're supposed to beat. But at the end of the day, at this point, it's just another L on our track record, and it's not good.
And then St. John's, we got blasted. That was, oh my God, that second half.
I had hope in the first.
Yeah, we shot, like, 14%, and our guys were taking NBA range threes. Why?
I don't
understand.
I didn't really understand the lines on the court.
I honestly think you're right. But there's...
Again, we were in the first half. We were winning at halftime.
Winning.
Great game plan. Adjustments in the second half. Zero. We lost.
Yes.
I do think that St. John's is the worst matchup for us in the Big East.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because they are by far the most athletic team, and they play the fastest. They're not the most efficient offense, but they're getting to the basket on fast breaks all the time.
Something we never
That's do. Something that we don't have the speed to contend with that, no matter who we put in. So this is a game for us that, okay, we're leading at halftime. Did I expect us to come out on top at the Garden? Probably not. But all the other games that we just talked about, we should have won the Creighton game. I feel like we gave it away at the end, although, again, it was also Doug McDermott. And then you look at the Xavier game, I don't think Xavier's that much better than us.
They're not.
I don't feel like it, except for by record, they're way better.
Now, you know, there's a lot of problems. Kevin mentioned it. What I think is that we can never have everyone have a good game. You need see, when Kyle has a good game, which hasn't been happening at all recently, by the way, Kellen and Barlow are off. And if Schrabis has a great game, nobody else shows up. If everyone could muster together a great performance, we'd be a pretty solid team.
If only. I mean, it's really tough. I mean, you'd think by the end of the season we'd have enough chemistry to be going on all cylinders, but it's just not working out. I mean, it's been that way for quite some time. I mean, the only time we saw multiple people really go off is when Kellen and Kyle earlier in the season were working really well together, especially
when but even then, nobody else was doing anything.
And the opponents we were playing for the most part were inferior by far.
Washington State, when we dropped, they both had 31. No one else had anything, really.
Washington State wasn't that good of a team, and they were in the game with us.
They were definitely in the game.
Now,
they were winning.
The most shocking result of the week was Renee transferring. Just kidding. It didn't surprise anybody.
We called it.
We called it back in October. Renee, the body language says a lot. You weren't playing, like, I've heard he was just lazy in practice, maturity issues. Marco, anything to add?
It's tough. It just never felt like he really gelled here at Butler. Maybe he just never really bought in. It's tough when he was a recruit. I mean, we do remember most of these guys that just came in thinking they were going to play for Brad Stevens, and here they are thrusted upon with a brand-new head coach, someone they don't have a relationship with yet.
And someone who hasn't built anything under his own name himself.
It's tough for the players to really buy into some guy that they didn't think was going to be their head coach, some guy they don't have a relationship with, and I just don't think they ever got on the same page.
I think there's a bigger issue here, and I think it's a lack of discipline from the coaching staff. Now, I think Brad didn't give the players a leash at all.
No.
No.
Zero.
I heard rumors.
He controlled tweets. He controlled when they were out. He called them to make sure they're in bed by 11 or whatever their time is.
Might as well have tucked them in.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Coach Miller hasn't had any disciplinary anything. I'm sure he set some standards.
I mean, he's suspended a couple players.
Already. But because it is so much more lenient than what a lot of these guys had with Brad, the older guys, I think, are setting a poor example.
That's a bold statement.
You know, this team doesn't really have a leader who's outspoken.
Yeah.
Fromm's a guy who's quiet, does all the right things. You know, Barlow's not a guy who's really going to get a lead in the team. Yeah. Kyle, I wouldn't say that either. There's no real senior leadership on this team, which is okay if you've got a bunch of guys who are willing to follow the rules and mature. But I think that a couple of the younger guys, I'm talking sophomores, maybe a couple in the junior class, are setting a bad example for the freshmen.
Yeah.
There has to be somebody holding them accountable. And if the coaching staff's going to give them a little more leeway because they trust their players, then the players have to be the ones cracking down on each other.
I feel like we're turning into Xavier with all these suspensions. Like, we're supposed to be the good school, not getting in trouble, not all these suspensions. Marco, what's your tweet this week about that, in fact?
Tomich's tweets. Tomich's tweet of the week is Alex Englund, a former Butler basketball player, said, "Man, these off-the-court issues isn't Butler basketball. It's embarrassing and frustrating to hear." And it really is embarrassing and frustrating to hear. I mean, we're supposed to be maybe a little bit more higher class. People think of us a little bit when they think of basketball. They don't think, obviously, as Butler is one to get in trouble. I think that's not really the Butler way, as most people on campus would like to say. We're having multiple suspensions in a year. People are leaving left and right. What can we put this on?
Players? Well, the most recent, coaching? Cam Woods, suspended for the St. John's game.
Did not travel.
Didn't even travel with the team. Like, in our 3 years prior, did we ever see a suspension before?
I don't think so.
That's my point. Like, I don't want to say it's on Brandon Miller, but who else am I going to point the finger at? Really?
Are the character of the players as high as they were back in those past 3 years? I mean, we had some really high character players, I think, back in the time, and good senior leadership back then, mm-hmm. which I think, like Kevin said, really contributes to how our team is kind of acting right now. Maybe, hopefully next year, by next year, we'll mature.
Does Coach Miller have a job next year?
Oh, my God! What?
Yes.
Yes!
And what makes you say that? If he cannot control his players, and he has more suspensions, had to give up more suspensions this year, potentially put the worst possible face out there for Butler that could hurt or damage our entire reputation, not only as a basketball program, but as a school.
Yeah, but that's not Brandon Miller's fault.
Brandon Miller cannot be with them day and night. Yeah. He cannot be with them when they're being goofballs. I mean, this is college. College kids kind of do what they want. Brandon Miller can't be right there to hold their hand and say, no,
I do bad say what player, Kevin's saying, no. though, that he's kind of going to be viewed as the guy that let this happen.
Right.
Whether that's fair or not is one thing, but
right. And that was my point. I was playing a devil's advocate there. I didn't want to say that.
Barry Collier is not going to let him go after 1 year. Come on.
You also have to look at this from my Butler perspective.
Okay.
At a Louisville, this could happen two or three times to the same player, and he'll probably still be on the team.
Yes.
We saw it with, like, Shane Bohannon until he finally got kicked off.
Their coach got in trouble and nothing happened.
But you look at the way Butler's perceived.
Yes.
You look at the way people, you know, recruits look at Butler, families of recruits look at Butler, even people who are just applying to get into Butler as a normal student. It's a much higher and a much different standard. So that's why I think there's a little bit more pull towards Coach Miller, a better chance Coach Miller loses his job over stuff like this than at any other school.
I, again, just think Brandon Miller just hasn't had enough time to build bonds with players. I mean, like I said, he's just been thrusted with this new role. He really doesn't have any connections with any of the players previously, and he's trying to set down
that
some laws.
That doesn't matter,
here.
Though.
If like, you're Barry yeah, Collier, are uh-huh. you hiring a guy who's just who you think's going to come in and struggle for a whole year, and then on top of that lose
four
all
suspensions,
of his players?
Two transfers?
Do you guys
possibly more? We haven't gotten to that
what's
yet.
What's the chances of him just bringing someone else, and that also same thing happening again?
Well, if he...
It depends on the coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is such a ridiculous scenario that, like, I cannot see him getting fired after this year. I just cannot see it.
I need to see. I think it's just going to be at least a couple years, and maybe
yeah,
if nothing
say,
comes
I
up
think,
in a couple years.
I don't think he will get fired. However, you're putting the basketball programs went from a bad situation to worse, and it is at a point where you almost dug a hole you can't get out of.
Now, speaking of other players, names I've been hearing are, like, Nolan... Devontae, you're friends with Devontae. Can you see him leaving?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's really up to him. I'm not there during the practices. I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. Devontae works hard. I know that. And he really, I feel like, deserves playing time. I mean, earlier in the year,
no.
I thought he did pretty well with his, when he was getting 16, 17 minutes a game, he was getting like 4 points, couple assists, couple rebounds. I thought in the role minutes he was getting, I thought he was doing a good job as a role player.
He's not Big East caliber. He's really not. I like the guy.
Who on our team is?
Yeah, who on our team is besides
that's Caleb? Another valid point. We have 7 players playing right now. They were all recruited for the Horizon League. Like, our roster's kind of janky right
and
now.
You look at Kyle and you look at Kellen. I mean, Kyle in his last couple games has been bad, but overall, they've both exceeded Horizon League expectations. They've shown that they can at least compete in the Big East.
Yes.
They're not superstars by any means. I think there's a lot of better players out there. Again, every team has a guy that can put up 25 points a game. Every team's, you know, there's a Bryce Cotton or a Doug McDermott or a Javon Pinkston, like NBA talent. Unless Kellen gets a lot better and grows, he's the only one that has any chance to go to the league anywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody else is kind of just like there.
Stephen Bennett, though.
I don't think Nolan Berry's going to transfer. He's starting to see the floor a little bit more now.
I like him.
We don't know how long Cam's going to be suspended. If it's through Sunday, he's going to get another opportunity to play. He's played okay in the time he's gotten. Not great, but not bad. And I think he really likes the school. I think his parents like the school, too, from what I've heard. So I don't think he would be the one to leave. If anybody, it's going to be Devontae, because he's not going to get any playing time now or in the future just based on the depth chart if he's not moving up anywhere. And would you not want to see the floor somewhere else?
If you had told me earlier in the season or even a little bit before the season, hey, I think Nolan might transfer, I probably would have bought in a little bit. Especially what we heard with him saying, no, Coach Stevens did leave, maybe I would be thinking about transferring. I would have been a little bit more believed in that, but now I really can't. I can't see him leaving. Like Kevin said, he's getting more minutes. I think he's starting to produce a little bit, not as much as we hoped, but maybe in the next year if
I'll
he
say
grows
this,
more in the offseason.
We might have a lot of open scholarships at the end of the year.
I'll take one.
Yeah.
I still have eligibility. Hit me, Coach.
Well, now that we're done, you know, digging the grave for Butler basketball, we do want to say that our T-shirts are available on the Hoopcast website. So, that's wonderful. You can be a member of the Front Row crew by ordering these. We can send them to you, pick them up at Hinkle.
If you find us at a game, we'll take a picture with you if you're in the shirt.
If you want, I guess.
We'll leave Ari out of it.
That's funny. Guys, here's hoping for a win on Sunday against Providence.
Season's not over.
It's not?
We win the Big East tournament.
Oh,
we're going to the NCAA.
And we're
going to
win the national championship, baby.
Butler positive. Butler goggles.
For Kevin Schwartz, Marco Tomic, I'm Ari Castle. Dogs to the championship. IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.